Gatlin gets a good start. He's already up on Zarnell Hughes, but Bolt's got out well. And watch out for Edward. Bolt is up. He has a lead over Gatlin. Can the American come back? He's starting to close the gap. Justin Gatlin is trying to close, but Bolt's already smiling. Dare we ever doubt him? 19.56. Usain Bolt is just unstoppable when it comes to the 200 metres.
There's a little buzz up here, Joe or Ken, if you guys can get that. We are so glad to have our churches won this morning, and I want to thank Miss Christine for interpreting during the first part of our service. As Pastor Charlie was singing, now he's going back into the booth to translate, and so he's not in the penalty box or in trouble today, but we just bought new transponders for the church. And it's still pretty buzzy up here, guys, if you don't mind. Okay. Just makes me feel electric a little bit, you know? Y'all doing good today? Say amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad the rain held off a little bit until church started? I am too, because my hair was a mess yesterday, so. But we're very excited for this, what we're about to enter into together as a church family. We're starting a new initiative this week. Today's our first day, called All In. And we have for you this morning, if you have not received them, I have some folks in the back that are ready to pass them out to you. We have a little booklet that says All In, and then a little bracelet that we're going to ask you guys to put on if you would. So if you did not receive one of the booklets or bracelets, would you just lift your hand up in the air, and we'll have some of our greeters come by to you. Okay, here they come, good-looking young folks. Keep your hand up until you get one. You hang up one up front, they're really cool. I'm wearing mine, so it fits big wrists. For those of you with bigger wrists, like myself, if you did not get one, I'll tell you what they represent. As most of you, if not all of you know, we are preparing as a church to move. And we're moving over to a new facility on Data Drive over in Plano. And we are actually, this coming Saturday, going to have our first work day. And we want to invite you to come out on Saturday from 8 a.m. until noon. And we're going to be there doing some work on our new building. If you just want to come out, if working is not your thing to do and a little manual labor, then we would invite you to come out anyway, just so we could show you the facility, so you could see where we're moving our church to. But we're very, very excited about the opportunity we have. It's just a great facility. It's in a great location. It's only about a mile from here, so it's not going to have too much of an impact on anybody that's traveling any distance. It's really, really close to where we're currently located. But it's on Plano Parkway, right between Independence and Coit. And we'll be meeting there again on Saturday, 8 a.m. for work. And I really hope that you'll consider coming out. We would ask you if you have younger kids that are under 12 years old to maybe find someone to watch them. It is a construction zone. There are screws on the floor. We don't want any kids to get hurt. So just be very mindful of that. But today, it's a big day. This is kind of we launched our church in July. But today's a big day because it starts our process of us preparing ourselves to move into our new facility. And in order to do that, it's going to take all of us together as one body, Spanish amigos, English gringos, all of us coming together as one body in Jesus Christ to reach our community for Him. And it's going to take all of us another level of commitment. It's going to take all of us a level of intimacy in our walk with the Lord, growing closer in our walk with the Lord. And I believe this, it's going to be a great opportunity for us to grow in our faith, like my wife was talking to you about earlier during the welcome. Because the book of James tells us that, and you can finish this verse for me, faith without works is, right? God wants us to have faith, but he wants us to trust him. And the do that we are engaged in doesn't make us more saved or less saved. We're secure in our relationship with Jesus Christ once you know him as Savior. But we do that out of response towards our love for him. We want to honor him with our resources. We want to honor him with our lives. We want to honor him with our talents and so forth. So we're very excited. I've had a pastor friend of ours who was a consultant for John Maxwell's Enjoy Ministries, pastored in Abilene, Texas for 9 years, Orlando, Florida. He's been in Orlando for 15 years. Pastor Mike Shirley has come alongside of us to consult and to walk us through this process of this All-In initiative. And there's different things that you can get involved with, and I'll share some of those things with you after the church service today. But I've asked Pastor Mike if he would to come and just kind of pour into us and encourage us and speak truth and speak love into us from God's word today. So I want to ask you if you would. Now, before we get started, I just want to make sure Pastor Charlie or Miss Christine, are you somewhere I can see you, Miss Christine? You guys, do all of our transponders for our Spanish folks working good? Okay, is everybody? Everybody good? Okay. If it doesn't work or something, just go to the back and we'll fix it for you. But I told Pastor Mike there's going to be an English amen and then a Spanish amen. It's just 3 second delay now. So that's okay. It's all right. But I want to introduce you to my dear friend. This is Pastor Mike Shirley. Would you make him feel welcome to our service today? And we are also honored, my friend. We are also honored to have his sweet wife, Miss Rhonda, who's in the front row over here. We brought her to
Hey, I'm just Mike, okay? And so I'm so excited to be at Warehouse Church. Are you glad to be here today? Like, if you're glad, give me a whoop whoop. Good, I like that. We do that whoop whoop in Orlando, so, but we're a little weird, you know, I mean, yes. You don't have to agree with that, okay? I want to say just a word about Ed and Kim before we begin, because Ron and I have had the privilege for 24 years of knowing them. And we've watched them. And I met Ed back in 1994. We kind of partnered together at a youth camp. And he had just assumed a role as youth pastor at his church there. And I remember sitting across the table at a Chinese restaurant in Philly. And Ed asking me questions about students. How do you reach students? What do you do to captivate their heart? What do you do? And I said, hey, you've been doing it all week. I've been watching you. He goes, what do you mean? I said, all you do is love and lead them like Jesus. And he's like, really? That's like it? And he's, yeah, you've been doing it. And so just stay the course. And I got to tell you something. I've watched them both love and lead people like Jesus for 24 years. And what's interesting is when God placed him in places where they were leading churches, it just happened to be because of God and because of their wiring and because of their hearts, they were churches that desperately needed some hope because they were about to give up. And they needed somebody to come alongside of them and say, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it. And God's in this thing. And let's just trust him. We don't know all the answers, but we're going to follow him. And I'm so glad. I am so glad that God has placed him at Warehouse Church, because here's what I want you to understand. You are about to enter into a defining season in your church. A defining season in your church. And I'm so excited because in the midst of this build-out, this represents not a relocation or a build-out of a building. That's just the means that God's using, or the shell, so to speak, that God's using. It means a brand new beginning. A fresh start. And yeah, let's go over that. Hey, come on. Yeah. And so, this is an opportunity to a new day and a new beginning and a fresh start. And it also represents kingdom influence and impact in your communities. People need hope. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. You can give them that hope. And this is just the beginning of the brand new beginning of kingdom impact that God's going to do for Warehouse Church. And I'm excited. But here's the reason I'm really excited, okay? Because, and this is really what I want to talk to you about. Because this is an opportunity to grow your faith. Say with me, grow my faith. That was pretty good, but that's not good enough. You ready? Grow my faith. You are much better when you're coached. Right? Hey, listen, I've been following Jesus for 40 years. And I'm on a faith journey, and I want my faith to grow. And I want to grow. And here's what I want you to know. This is our big idea. Going all in for God. Going all in for God is an opportunity to live by faith in Him. You choose to live by faith in Him. I choose to live by faith in Him. And it's faith that moves the hand of God. And when I express my faith, God moves. And don't miss this. God's going to build His church as He builds His church. He's going to grow you. And here's what's really cool, okay? Here's the truth. Often God will use money as the primary means to build our faith. Why is that? Here's why that is. Because money is the single greatest competitor to our devotion as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's also the greatest indicator of our heart. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. And maybe you're thinking, all right, here we go. All right, here we go. Here comes the Sermon on the Mount, right? Well, if you're thinking that, just do this. Just take a deep breath. Just take a chill pill, right? Because here's what you might not know, or maybe you know this, but we need to be reminded of this. Jesus gave 38 parables. 16 of them dealt with money. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which, by the way, I mean, that's following Jesus right there. 1 in 10 verses deals with the issue of money. In fact, how many would say, I believe in prayer? Raise your hand. Come on. Good. There are 500 verses in the Bible that talk about prayer. How many say, I believe in faith? Raise your hand. There are almost 500 verses in the Bible that talk about faith, but there's 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money. Because again, it is the single greatest competitor to our devotion to God. And by the way, it's the single greatest faith builder in our lives. Nothing comes close, bar none. Take it to the bank, pardon the pun. Right? That's why Jesus said, the greatest indicator of your heart is your treasure. So, over the next 6 weeks, and by the way, there's lots of stuff going on. Not only is Pastor Ed going to be teaching on what it means to be an all-in follower of Jesus, but over the next 6 weeks, there's going to be some opportunities and some events and some prayer initiatives and some different things, and don't miss any of them. Because this is what God wants to do in you so He can do through you. And I don't want you to miss it. And I want you to understand that you're going to hear a lot about what it looks like to be an all-in for God. And one of the expressions is going to be with regards to a commitment to your finances. So this is not just a physical commitment to help build the church. It's a faith commitment to help build the church. And I'm excited because you know what? Ron and I had the opportunity to go through this in our church, Discovery Church, just about 6 months ago. And Discovery is a multi-site church, and we pastor our East Campus out in East Orlando. And we went through an initiative to help raise some resources, but to grow the faith of our people. And over the course of the next 2 years, our people have committed over $23 million towards the faith initiatives. And here's what's cool. Their lives are changing.
That's right.
They're changing because they're learning what it means to dig deep wells of faith and believe God and trust God. And God's doing some unexplainable things. We're 6 months into it. And at this point, we should have, you know, our estimated income that should be about $4.5 million. It's over $7 million. That's God. And here's the deal. We're going to be a different church in 2 years, and you're going to be a different church in 2 years because of how God's going to grow your faith and how God's going to change you. And I'm excited. I'm so stoked because you're going to be different. And God's going to build you. God's going to grow you beyond your imagination. So here's the question we want to talk about. What does it look like for you and me to go all in for God? What's that look like? What will it change in my life? In my home, in my family, with my kids. Because, by the way, this isn't just about you. This is about your family. This is about your kids. This is about your students. This is about your family looking at what it means to go all in to follow Jesus Christ. And I want to make some observations, and here's what I believe. If we choose to go all in for God, number one, it will radically change the way you spend time with God. Radically change the way you spend time with God. Pastor Ed said we spent 9 years in Abilene and had a wonderful journey there. We call it our 9-year love affair. We pastored a church there and it was the greatest time in all. By the way, don't you just love Texas people? Now you ought to say we'll book to that because we're talking about you. Texas people are just good meat and potatoes people. And I love them. And we had a 9-year love affair there. And then God brought us to Orlando. And here's the deal. I spent 25 years pastoring churches. And I was pretty disciplined about reading my Bible and praying. And so pretty much every day, get up and I'd read some, you know, I was through a reading plan or whatever it may be. I'd read my Bible, I'd pray, I'd shut my Bible and try to reach the world for Jesus. But I got to tell you, I didn't know what it really meant to understand what it meant to experience God's presence and sit in God's presence and directly hear from Him, a word from Him, and live it out. I didn't get it. I understood performance religion, but I didn't understand what it meant to experience His presence. And then in 2007... We walked away from pastoring churches, and for the first time in my life, I had to center my identity on who I am in Christ and not my title. And that began a journey. We walked away and we said, and there's got to be more. There's more, and we got to find the more. And what's interesting is, along that journey, some things started to shift in us, and we started to pursue the more of God, but we watched our daughter. We've got a daughter, 28 years old, single, and I can't say she's chasing Jesus. But we saw her probably about 6 years ago. I mean, radically her life changed, and she always walked with God, but her pursuit of God and understanding what it means to be in God's presence was totally different. Because of that, she was different. Some of the strongholds in her life were no longer there. And man, she understood. She knew what it meant to pray and sit before God. And she'd grab her journal and go spend time with God. And that was she's different. And so we started pursuing what we like to call the more of God. And we started understanding what that means. And we began to figure out what it looks like to have a presence, what I call a presence relationship. And what's interesting is, Paul talks about that a little bit in Philippians chapter number 3. And he talks a little bit about what it means to have a presence relationship. And he talks about moving from performance religion to presence relationship. And so Paul gives kind of his resume, you know, and his religious resume. And by the way, it's pretty impressive. And then he says this in verse number 8 of Philippians chapter number 3. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus. Say, knowing Christ Jesus.
Knowing Christ Jesus.
knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ. Say, know Christ.
Know Christ.
And experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing his death. Did you notice in three verses, Paul uses the word know twice? I want to know Christ. Knowing Christ Jesus. And that word in the Greek means to know and experience intimately. There's a Hebrew word that's equivalent to that, okay? It's the word yada. Say that with me. Yada. Now you gotta say it with some gusto. Yada. Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
Just wanna help you here, alright? Yada means to know is to experience. You see, for the Jew, there was no separation between knowing and experiencing. To know was to experience. And so what Paul is saying is, I want to not just know Christ, I want to experience Christ. I don't want to know about the resurrection, I want to experience the power of the resurrection in my life. You die. So in 2016, I had the privilege to go to Turkey with a couple of the people from Discovery Church and some other folks, and there was about 40 of us, and we went and we traveled the seven churches of, you know, Revelation 2 and 3, and we traveled Paul's journeys, and along the journey, we went to a city, or the remains of the city, by the name of Hierapolis. It's in Pergai, and if you study Paul in the book of Acts, Paul talks about Pergai. It's near Colossians and Laodicea. And so, there, in Hierapolis, after we were in the city, he took us to an area in the mountains, and we saw what's called the hot springs of Hierapolis. I want to show you a picture here. See that white? That's rock. It looks like sand, or it looks like snow, but it's actually rock, and there are these springs that are filled with water, hot water. And so what's interesting is Brad Gray, our guide, was talking to us about Hierapolis and the hot springs of Hierapolis, and the people of that day actually believed there were healing attributes, and so they would come from the whole region and they would get in the waters of Hierapolis and pray to be healed. And so Brad was talking to us about that, and he introduced us to the word yada. To know is to experience. And this is what he said. I didn't bring you to Hierapolis to tell you about Hierapolis. I brought you to Hierapolis so that you would experience Hierapolis. And then he threw off his backpack, threw off his shoes, and he walked out into the springs of Hierapolis just like that. And then all 40 of us did the same thing. We threw off our backpacks, threw off our shoes, and we walked out into the springs of Hierapolis so that we might not know about it, but we might experience it. That's yada. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I want you not just to know Jesus, I want you to experience Jesus. Because there's no separation. Now, here's why this is important. And here's why we're talking about this with regards to all in. Because if you're really going to go all in for God, then you got to understand that you've got to learn how to hear from him and follow him without reservation. And that means we got to give everything to him. C.S. Lewis said this: God doesn't want us, something from us. He simply wants us. That's yada. And so in my journey, we've started to figure out what it means to experience God. We're beginning to understand what it means to sit in his presence. We're understanding a little bit more about a faith-filled life. And you, if we're going to go all in, Warehouse Church, you've got to experience him. And you've got to figure out what it means to sit in God's presence, slow down, forget about the checklist, forget about everything you have, and sit before God and listen to God and obey God, and it will change your life. Wow. Here's another thought. For many, it's going to mean that you begin to trust God with your finances. Because remember, money is the means God will use to build our faith. And for many, living by faith begins, for all of us, living by faith begins with tithing. I know the T word, right? Right? You say, well, I tried that, done that, it just didn't work. Well, I'm hearing you. But I want to show you just a couple things that I've learned recently from studying, for many of us, a familiar passage. So in Malachi chapter 3, in the book of Malachi, God says something to his people. And he says this in verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, because you ask, how do we rob you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. And then notice what he says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me. Say, test me. In this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I love this. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop from their fruit, or drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Now, here's a couple things that are noteworthy that I want to bring out. Okay, first of all, the word tithe actually means tenth or 10%. 10%. But also what's interesting is, remember that in the Bible, numbers have significance and they represent something. And the number 10 represents a test. So let me throw out some questions, and the answer is going to become very obvious. I'm going to give you several questions, okay? How many plagues or tests did God send to Pharaoh? Okay, let me try that again. How many tests or plagues did God send to Pharaoh? Boy, you're bright. All right, here we go again, all right? How many commandments are there? How many times did God test Israel as they wandered in the wilderness? Yeah, the answer is 10, okay? So there's a theme here, all right? I think you got this. How many times did Jacob's wages change? 10. How many days was Daniel tested? 10. Okay. How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? 10. Okay, how many disciples were there originally? 12. I just tested you. But 10 represents a test. So God is asking a question. He's going, will you honor me? Will you believe me? Will you trust me? Or are you going to trust the lies of the enemy? It's one or the other, truth or lie. And by the way, you're looking at that passage going, yeah, that's the money passage. No, it's not. It's the faith passage. Because here's why. Repeatedly through the Bible, God says this, I am the Lord. Do not test me. Right? Repeatedly through the Old Testament, I am the Lord. Do not test me. There's only one time in the Bible where God says, put me to the test. I double dog dare you to test me. And it's with your faith. It's not with your money. Money's just the means that God wants to use to build our faith. And he wants to do that. Did you know that whenever the tithe is mentioned, God uses the word bring, not give? He says, bring the tithe. Why is that? Well, it's real simple. Because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. It already belongs to God. You're just bringing a portion back to him to represent that it's all from him. Let me illustrate, okay? Pastor Ed and Kim have been friends of Ron and I for 24 years. So let's just suppose that I live here in DFW and Plano and Texas, and my transmission goes out of my car. So, I mean, I got to put my car in the shop, and Ed hears about it, and he calls me up, and he goes, hey, Mike, Kim and I are going on vacation. We're going to be gone for a week. I want to let you borrow my car. I'm going, really? Yeah, I mean, just borrow it. Just take it and use it. That way there's not a problem. And boy, that's great, Ed. And so we figure out, you know, what to do. And I go get the keys and get the car. And he says to me, I'll call you when I get home. So Ed and Kim go on vacation for 7 days, have a great time. He gets home, he comes back, he picks up the phone, he calls me, he goes, hey, Mike, I'm home. Great, how was your vacation? We talk about the vacation. He goes, hey, listen, I want to come by and get the car. Or you need to bring the car back. And he says that, and I look at him, and I go, hey, you know, Ed, I've been really praying about this. And Ron and I have been praying, and we've been asking God what our role is. And we want to give you the car. To which you go, what? I mean, we've been really praying about it. We want to give you the car. To which he would look at me and go, are you crazy? That's my car. Bring it back now. In fact, he would call me a thief. Right? Right? You're going to try to steal my car. Okay, now, here's the application. Sometimes we do that to God. I'm just being honest, folks. When we don't trust God with our tithe, we're robbing God. Now, that's not my words, that's God's words, but that's the truth. And so, Malachi asked the question, will we rob God? And God says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And according to the Bible, there's only two things we can do with the tithe. We can either bring it to God, or we can steal it. There's not a third option. And so, we are the most like God when we give, and we are the most like the enemy or Satan when we steal. So if we choose to trust God, in verse 9, it says, if we choose not to trust God, in verse 9 says, we bring a curse upon ourselves. You say, well, God cursed me. God didn't curse you. According to what the Bible says, you're bringing a curse upon yourself. But I love what happens, because he goes on to say, if we trust God, he will bless us, he will protect us. In verse number 11, he says, he will prevent the pest from devouring your crops. Understand, it was an aggregate culture, and so crops was like cash. Right? And so you know what he's saying? He's saying, if you'll trust me, not only will I reward you financially, but that car that you're driving that probably should have given out at 150,000 miles, you're driving, it's got 250,000 miles on it. Because why? Because I'm preventing the locusts from devouring your food. And by the way, here's the thing. We think monetary, but God says, you know what? Hey, when's the last time you had to take the kids to the hospital? How's your house? How's your water heater doing? We had a washer and dryer that when we bought it, they told us it'd live 10 years. After 18 years, we decided to get another one just because. That's like twice as long. Here's what I'm saying, gang. God wants to bless you. But the way he's going to bless you is to test you and to grow you and to allow your faith to deepen. Let me tell you about Christina. Christina's part of our East Campus Discovery East that Ron and I lead. And she is a 6'2" ex-military veteran. And she served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And she experienced some head trauma. She went through all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of stuff. In fact, she's got PTSD, and I mean, she went through hellish experiences there. Heard the expression, war is hell? She lived it. And Christina has been part of Discovery for a while, and her faith has been growing, and we went through the All-In Initiative, and for her, All-In was, I'm going to start tithing, because I'm not really giving. And so she committed, her All-In commitment was a tithe of her income. Now, what's interesting is her husband, Sean, has to work every Sunday, can't come to church, and so she brings the kids to church, and comes and worships, is on the front row, she's worshiping God, She brought her commitment card, turned it in, all in. Goes home, tells her husband. Husband says, great, I can't be there, but great, I'm glad you're all in and I'm all in with you. He comes home from work later that week, and you know what he says? You're not going to believe this. I get a raise. And she goes, like, really? Like 1%? Because that was his normal raise that happened occasionally. And she goes, no. He goes, no, 10%. And here's the cool part. My boss has worked it out where I don't have to work all the Sundays. You talk about faith growing. You talk about Christina understanding that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. And by the way, she sends me an email this week and she says, you're not going to believe this. Sends Rhonda and I an email and she says, you know what? There was $9,000 that the government said that I owed back from military service, and there was, I don't know all the details to it, but she owed $9,000, and she just got word from them that they've exhausted that 100%. In addition to that, there's $50,000 in medical bills that she had to cover out of her pocket because of the trauma that she experienced and all that she's going through in her health, and she said, I just got word from the insurance, they're covering 100% of it. And God says, just put me to the test. Just let me test you. All right, so here's the third thing. For some of you, going all in means trusting God in an even greater way beyond the tithe. You see, for some of you, God has blessed you immeasurably. I mean, giving a tithe, that's not faith. Bringing your tithe is not faith, let's be honest, because you've been blessed and you understand that and you've been doing that and you've been trusting God and God showed up. God's calling you to greater sacrifice. What's that look like? And so for you, that means that your faith is going to grow, and for your faith to grow, you're going to have to go deeper and you're going to have to trust God and you're going to have to lay it all out and say, God, I'm all in. What's that look like? That's what Robin and Brandy did. Robin and Brandy are part of our East Campus. They're a great couple. In fact, it's really cool. Robin and Brandy started coming to our church about 4 years ago, and they're in a motorcycle gang. Okay? They know Jesus. They love Jesus. They were following Jesus. They're in this motorcycle gang. In fact, they think they're representing Jesus in the motorcycle gang, and guess what? They are. They are. Now, Brandy, I mean, she's crazy for Jesus. She can tell you story after story after story of God showing up when they get together with the motorcycle gang, and they know when to pull back and get away because it's a little bit too crazy, okay? So they've been very faithful, and they got great jobs. They're both engineers, and tithing is not an issue for them. So they've been faithful in that. So when it came time for all in, they said, you know what? What's that look like, God? And they laid it before them, before God, and God gave them a shocking response. And they said, okay, we're all in, let's do it. That was in November. January 22nd, let me read you an email, okay? The Lord started showing up immediately after all in pledge. My husband and I were both recognized for our achievements at work. After our commitment, we saw an influx of new customers in our personal business. We even got another business partner. We achieved new rank in our personal business in December. They yielded an additional bonus. In just 1 month, the Lord has provided and given us room to give, tithe, and even beyond that with all in. And now we're booking a vacation. Then she goes on, in addition, this year has brought new hunger and thirst for the Lord's presence and learning about Him. We're living by faith. We both have been making an effort to also get more study time, more time in God's presence through prayer, and involved in our inner healing prayer ministry. Our faith is growing. Amen. That was on January 22nd. She sent me an email about a month later on February 19th. This is what she says. I'm just trembling and crying over the 4.3% raise I just got from work. I can't believe it. I'm blessed beyond measure. I already have more than enough, and then I get this. Really, God? Really? a raise based on considerable exceeding performance rating among our peers. Who would believe I'm even qualified for that? Included in the raise was an additional 5% salary bonus. I can't even process this. She says, the God part about this is the difficult circumstances and situation I was placed in at work last year. It created an opportunity to have all eyes on me situation, which resulted in success and award and favor. My cup runs over. All praise to God, but I'm not done. Between the raise my husband got, and the one I got, and the extra money from tax reform, when we get back our monthly all-in initiative, we already have the money. And we're only 3 months into it. Wow. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, because there he's talking to about the example of the Macedonian Christians and their generosity towards the relief efforts that are going on for Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem at this point is getting persecuted. They're getting hammered. Satan's trying to squelch them. And so this is what Paul says. I love it. Verse 3 through 5. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. Say far more. And they did it to their own free will. They begged us again and again, imagine that, for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. And here's the key. For their first action was to give themselves, say, give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them. Here's my challenge. Begin to ask the Lord, what does it look like for me, for my family, to go all in for God? What does that look like? And over the next 6 weeks, God's going to speak to you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to reveal some things to you. And he's going to begin to share with you what that looks like. What do I need to release, Lord? What do we need to change in our family? Because it's not about you. It's about your family. I don't want my faith to grow and my kids not to grow. I don't want my faith to grow and my grandkids not to hear about God showing up and God's goodness and God's trust. God is a trustworthy God. I want to share it. So what does that look like? Maybe a goal that doesn't bring glory to God, or maybe a habit that's weighing you down, maybe an addiction, a food addiction, or a pornography addiction, or drug addiction, maybe an expectation of a relationship. You know what? I'm looking for my husband to make me happy, or my wife to give me joy. Maybe you're discontent with your circumstances. You're going, why, Lord? So begin to ask the Lord that question even now. In fact, I want to invite you to do something. Would you bow your heads with me?